Studio 360.
Almost exactly 50 years ago, the great jazz guitarist Wes Montgomery died suddenly of a heart attack. He was only 45, and he had really become a big star in his world. The thing that made his sound so singular, he played without using a pick. Instead, he just used his thumb, which was hard on his thumb, but it did give his playing this unusual intimacy and warmth. The first time a lot of jazz fans heard that style was on an album that came out in 1960. Our story about that record begins with another jazz player.
My name is George Benson, and I'm a musician known as a singer and a guitar player. When I was a youngster, I guess I was about 15 years old, all of the musicians used to talk about this man named Wes Montgomery. They all came through a club in Pittsburgh, which is very famous, called Birdie's Hurricane. I walked by the jazz club, and I saw this picture in the window of a guy with a guitar, so naturally I'm interested. But the way he had it strung from his neck was like a cowboy, you know, with a rope around his neck. So I said, oh, I know this guy can't play nothing. But there was something about that name, Wes Montgomery. I said, you know, somebody heard his name before. I better come by and check this out tonight. So I did. And I heard music like I never heard it before. And the guitar, like, could never imagine it to sound. I walked up close to that amplifier, because it was about ear level when you walk near the bandstand, and heard the most beautiful tone I had ever heard.
The story of how my father came to sign Wes Montgomery to Riverside Records is, I actually don't know for sure how much of the story, the way my father told it, is true. He liked to say, if you saw this in a movie, you wouldn't believe it. My name is Peter Keepnews, and my father was Orrin Keepnews of Riverside Records, who produced the incredible jazz guitar of Wes Montgomery. What happened was that Cannonball Adderley, who was one of the artists on the Riverside label and who was a good friend of my father's, came running into his office and said, I just got back from Indianapolis and there's an amazing guitar player there and you have to sign him. He grabbed a blank contract and ran out the office and went to the airport and caught the next plane to Indianapolis. I don't think it happened quite that quickly, but he definitely did make arrangements to go to Indianapolis and to find this guitarist, and he was prepared to sign him strictly on the basis of Cannonball Adderley's recommendation. Wes, although he was living in Indianapolis and had a day job at the time, he had done some touring, he had done some recording, so he was not a totally unknown quantity, but he was not well known, certainly. My father was so dazzled by the virtuosity and the creativity of Wes Montgomery that he did indeed sign him to a contract on the spot.
I kind of agree with Cannonball Adderley that he was the greatest find at that time. My name is Pat Martino. I'm a jazz guitar player. The first time I heard Wes Montgomery playing, I was floored. Wes Montgomery stood out beyond all of that particular period of time in the late 50s and the early 60s.
It has also been said that in the history of the instrument, there have been three men who have done something new, who have brought a new dimension to the instrument: Django Reinhardt, Charlie Christian, and Wes Montgomery.
Well, I wasn't trying to be one of the best anyway. I was just playing for my own amusement.
He talked very intelligently when he spoke, but very sparingly. When he started playing, we knew why. He did his talking through his guitar, not with his mouth.
This album was with first call jazz musicians. Tommy Flanagan was not yet that well known, but he was already recognized as one of the really important young jazz pianists. Percy Heath was well known for being the bassist with the Modern Jazz Quartet, which was certainly one of the biggest groups in jazz, and his brother, Albert Heath, was a very well-respected drummer. So this was really the first time that Wes Montgomery was playing with musicians who might be considered his peers. No disrespect to the other musicians he had worked with previously, who included his brothers, who were very good musicians, but this was the big time. This was New York. These were first-class New York jazz musicians, and the fact that he held his own with them was a big part of why this album garnered so much attention.
When Montgomery played, of course, all the guitar players tried to get there for that because there was going to be lessons passed out like you wouldn't believe. We wanted to find out what magic he discovered that we didn't know because he didn't play like anybody we knew.
Nobody was playing the guitar quite like that, with that kind of facility and with that kind of imagination. Incredible improvisational skills, and he had this technique of playing with his thumb rather than a pick, which was very unusual, and of building these solos from single lines to chords to octaves, which was really something new.
The fact that he could be as exuberant as he was, as such a great player, with the use of his thumb instead of a plectrum, was immediately staggering.
Well, when I first started, I started with a pick, of course. Everybody else was starting with a pick. Man, I liked it for my amplifier to be on because I found out that when you practice without an amplifier for like 2 months, and then you use the amplifier, you hear more noise than you do notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I'll break that habit, so I just use the amplifier all the time. But while doing that, I would go into the night practicing, but I forgot I was disturbing neighbors.
Yeah.
So that was very shortly brought to my attention. So then I set the pick on the top of the amplifier and made it much of a rounder sound, softer.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I'll use that until I get where I can play, and then I'll use a pick.
There's a warmth in the flesh upon the string. So that was an immediate phenomenon with Wes's sound. It came from his hand on the string itself.
When you play with your thumb, it becomes very personal. The dynamics are much more audible because you can play soft and suave, or you could dig in and play thumpy if you want to, get a nice thump when you play. Nobody ever got the sound that Montgomery got from the guitar with their thumb. I know I tried it many years. I have a lot of friends who play like that, but when I say like that, I mean like that. Nobody was exactly what he was.
One of the greatest tributes to the instrument itself was his ability to transcend the mechanics of it and be so at ease in the process that it seemed like magic at times. The phrases that Wes would play, the melodic continuity of what was included in his statement.
Musicians didn't think like that, especially guitar players in that day. Montgomery took it to the hilt. He made us like that stuff. It was unusual, but it was truly great and wonderful to listen to and to navigate through those wonderful changes, which he could do better than anybody.
Aside from the playing, Wes was really focused on the environment, on the people in it. And there was a warmth and an aura that came from him that just transcended the craft, the music business.
Wes Montgomery's personality was very desirable because you would think that a man with that kind of talent and ability would be hard-nosed and very confident, you know, outgoing, outspoken. But no, he was laid back and friendly.
In those years in the 60s, I remember, the music wasn't only a style, it was a way of living.
It was a pleasure, and it was a privilege to be friends of the greatest jazz guitar player in the world. And he let me know that I was truly his friend. After the gig, he said, George, you know, we're going over there for some breakfast this morning. You want to join us? as if he had to ask. I said, yeah, Mr. Montgomery, I'll be right there, man. Where you going? We'd eat chicken and waffles in New York. That was the dish that's now famous all over America. But in those days, there was only one place. And all the musicians hung out there. You'd see Frank Sinatra, maybe Sammy Davis Jr. on any given night. But it was also the local musician's favorite hangout. And we'd go and have breakfast, and he'd tell me things he would never say to other people, other musicians. He told me who was who and what was what. And the last time I saw Montgomery was leaving that place. And he had two things that he wished for all of his life. He hated flying, so he had to have a road car, the Road Hog itself, the Cadillac, and alligator shoes. That was his favorite thing. The last night I saw him pull away from the curb, he got in his car with his alligator shoes, and he had his Cadillac. So I knew he was a happy man.
That is the jazz guitarist George Benson talking about Wes Montgomery, the great jazz guitarist of the generation right before his. Montgomery's 1960 album, The Incredible Jazz Guitar of Wes Montgomery, has been inducted into the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry. Our story was produced by Jenny Cataldo for BMP Audio.